Yeah, so I went to the University of Durham in the UK in 1998, and I spent 4 years there. Typical undergraduate physics in the UK is 4 years. And then came over to Macquarie University to work with Barry Sanders, who's no longer here, and Jim Kresser, my supervisor there, doing a PhD in quantum optics, quantum information. So it's very mathematical PhD. It was very heavily computational as well. And those are really the two skills that enable me to get a job in finance. So, I mean, really, my talk is aimed, and the career path I've taken so far, is a result of that PhD in mathematical physics, really. So as an undergraduate physicist who is maybe not thinking of a master's degree or a PhD, quant finance is not open to you in the same way that it was for me. So a PhD is really a prerequisite for these jobs. And so the way I got the job was I was literally sat on my desk one day in E7A, and I picked up the phone, and there was a headhunter on the other end. His first question was, are you interested in finance? And my answer was obviously yes. And what's finance, you know? That really is also the typical entry route as well, surprisingly. Things are changing a little bit now, but those who actually apply for jobs tend to come from finance departments, and there are PhDs in quantitative finance. So as a physics PhD or a maths PhD, you're competing with finance PhDs for the same job. So you'd have to explain to them why you think you're more relevant to their company than someone who spent 4 years doing finance. And funnily enough, one of the most successful guys in finance is a guy called Jim Simons, who was the author of Chern-Simons Theory. He runs a hedge fund in the US called Renaissance Technologies. Which, if you'd invested $2.5 million in 1992, would now be worth more than $1.5 billion. And his approach to investing is entirely mathematical and statistical. I work for a fund manager who, so if any of you have super, which I think is compulsory for all jobs now, we bid for money from different super funds, normally as sort of 50 million plus packets of money from these guys. They will give that to us. We will then invest it in the stock market with the single aim of beating the index and basically justifying our entire existence. The buy side, which is where I work, has as our clients people like Macquarie Bank, Goldman Sachs, Lehman Brothers, although no longer. We then trade shares through them. They will charge, for every trade we do, they charge 25 bips. Or a quarter of a percent of the dollar amount of that trade. And then, you know, we buy and sell through them in the aim of beating the index. And as a result, they then come to us with ideas for buying or selling stocks, or they come to us with some certain data requests or something like that. So really, like I said before, our entire existence is justified by the fact that we can, in effect, beat this index, this S&P 300, the all-ords number you see quoted on the TV every night. If we can beat that, then super funds and your money will actually be growing because of our skill. Now, that's the point. Now, there are quants, quantitative analysts, which is actually the title of my job, at all of these places, right? But the general rule of thumb in finance is that the closer you are to actually trading into the money, the more fun the job is, really. And the less you have to answer to people who tell you, I want A by tomorrow, or you know, by yesterday is normally what they say. There are two ways of managing money. The first way, once you've picked how you're going to do it, or which asset class you're going to use, either equities or bonds or something, the first way is to visit companies or just to look at balance sheets or reports. And the second way, which is where quantitative analysis comes in, is you can actually run money automatically, right? You can build a model using data and using MATLAB and using algebra, which might be able to beat the index and earn your keep as a fund manager. And that's my job at the minute, is to try and so my first job was actually as part of a quant fund, is what these are called. So this was in 2006 in May. So I came here in 2003. In 2006 in May, I then got this job at this asset manager and went part-time with my PhD. After 14 months, At my first company, I took the decision to actually leave and not have an income at all and try and finish the PhD, which again took longer than I expected. And in January this year was when I started my job
at a small firm called Platypus Asset Management. And my job there was to try and build a model that can automate stock picking, right? That can automate beating this market index by a certain amount, justifying a fee. And then that product we will then sell to super funds around Australia in the hope that they will give us money to run on it. This human behavior, which is really the driver of stock prices, right? Can we rationalize that so we know humans overreact? So is there a way of, on average, even if it's a weighted coin, right? If it's 55% of the time, you can still make money consistently. And if you can do that, you can then help everyone who has super in Australia. You can help them. You can essentially build wealth for those your clients there. So the positives of my job is that where I am on the buy side, I actually, even though it sounds funny, in finance, I feel that, you know, if you're in uni super, everyone has super, everyone needs some form of retirement funding, right? And if we can help them, and surprisingly, only 10% of fund managers in Australia do, right? The other 90% shouldn't exist. You should literally just buy the index. So if you can actually justify your existence that way, then you feel like you're contributing.